Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast for Autosport and Motorsport.com. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me as ever is Oriol Puigdemont, and it's a brand new year, so that means a brand new run of podcasts for us, Yuri. How are things with you? I know you've moved back to Australia and gearing up for MotoGP pre-season testing next month.
Yeah, it's been a while since the last one, and yeah, I'm back in Australia. Shitty weather, but still, I mean, at least it's warm here, and yeah, I'm ready to fly to Sepang next week, and then from there we're gonna fly to Mandalika to see how the guys are, who are the ones in better shape.
Yeah, well, I can sympathise with the shitty weather, but it's definitely not warm here. Testing, well, is always going to be the main focus for the next few weeks, but there's been a few kind of big stories over the past few weeks that we've been away. The key one being that Honda has confirmed that Marc Marquez will be at pre-season testing. He has recovered fully from his vision problems. It's been a really difficult winter for Marc, but it seems finally things are going in the right direction for him.
Yeah, I think the things have changed quite a lot in the last 3 weeks because he realized, he noticed a huge progression in compared with the last 2 months. And yeah, it's good news. It's the best news that Honda can have. So let's see if his input is the good one and the same than all the other Honda riders had during the test in Jerez. And let's see how his input changes the bike, if it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's good news for everyone, like you say, Honda particularly, because for the last year they struggled hugely without Marquez in the development phase of the Honda. This bike, the new bike, the 2022 bike, is quite a radical shift from the previous bike. And they only have 5 days this year, so it's a crucial time, and the fact that Honda are going to have a fully fit Marc is a key thing in their championship hopes.
I don't know if he will be completely fit, especially for the first 2 days in Sepang, because maybe I'm it's just my personal feeling, but on the pictures I've seen him really, really thin. It means that maybe the lack of training has affected him, and he's lost some weight, which maybe it will take some time to recover. But the most important thing is to see how he feels on the bike and how his physical condition will be, because don't forget that Malaysia is a really, really demanding track. The conditions there are going to be really tough. And from then on, we will see, because if Marc is in good shape and is able to ride the bike without any major problem, we're going to have a really, really, really new and exciting championship ahead.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what we've been really missing this past couple of years is Marc Marquez, a fit Marc Marquez, battling the new generation of riders we've got. Fabio, Pecco, you know, Jorge Martin, all these rookies that have come up in the meantime. There's a real exciting kind of battle and prospect if Marc and the Honda are going to be up to scratch straight away.
Yeah, you're right, because don't forget that last year, despite not being at his best, because we all know that he was not at his best, he was able to win 3 races. So it's quite amazing.
Mm, absolutely. Honda are one team that have sort of began preparations for the season. They held a launch presentation a couple of weeks ago, which Marc was at. Paul was there as well. And Paul Espargaró said something quite interesting, that he said there's no panic if the new Honda isn't quick straight away. I don't know if I 100% agree with him on that, because we know really the big fear for most manufacturers comes from Ducati. And we know that it looks like Ducati are going to hit the ground running. So these 5 days coming up are really, I think, more crucial than most people realize.
I think so. I disagree with Paul, because, there's not a 3 years project. I mean, Honda, every time that Honda hits the ground, it needs to win, because that's the DNA of the factory and the main reason. So I disagree with him, and don't forget that Ducati has been fast, or has shown its potential over the last years, and especially last year. So I don't see how not being so fast from the beginning can be any good thing. I understand, Paul, that it's better to not go in panic, to panic, but it would be difficult for Honda, considering the performance of the Ducati and the Ducati riders.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, we have 8 Ducatis on the grid next year. We've seen the new Gresini bike. It looks quite nice. RNF Yamaha have launched their team as well for 2022 with Dovizioso and Darren Binder. And there were some interesting things said in those press conferences as well, Yuri. I think we'll start with Darren Binder. You know, Ratslan Ratzali admitted that signing Darren was a big risk. Darren kind of brushed that off and said he would be stupid not to take that opportunity, which is fair enough. But there's a real big job, you have to think, for that team, for Wilco Zeelenberg, for Darren's crew chief, to really mold Darren into a good rider, because, you know, he's not going to have a couple of years to develop. The rider market's going to be quite hot this season, and Darren, this could well be a one-shot gig for him, so there's a lot of work that needs to go in there.
Yeah, I'm afraid that maybe it's too much pressure for him, considering his past. I mean, he's not been an outstanding. I mean, his results are not the best. So it means that he will be in a way obligated to show that why he deserves that MotoGP ride. So that's what breaks me the most. This combination, it can be in hopefully not, but it can be the perfect storm for a young rider like him. We all know the situation he's been involved in the past. So let's see, because MotoGP, I mean, if in Moto3, we've seen that these bikes are really dangerous. In MotoGP, I mean, the danger is plus 10. Let's see how it goes. Hopefully it's all going to be okay. And with Wilco, he has a really good mentor and a really good director. And yeah, that's my aim and my hope.
Yeah, he'll obviously have a couple of extra days of testing this year, because the rookies are allowed to take part in the shakedown. That's crucial for him. Obviously, on the other side of that, Gary's Dovizioso on a factory Yamaha. Ratzali again sort of talked Dovi up quite big. He said he hopes Dovi can fight for the championship this year. Dovi wasn't so sure when I asked him about that at that Zoom debrief. And he said again some interesting things about how he views this season. I mean, first of all, do you think really that a championship challenge is a realistic thing for Dovizioso coming into this year? Given everything we know a year out, we know that the Yamaha, we don't really know how the new Yamaha is going to go yet. The new team is an uncertainty.
Even I think even Dovizioso itself faded down. I mean, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, Ruslan says what he says, what he used to say. He talks very big, but then in the end, the results are the happenings are what they are. And I think Dovizioso is a much more realistic guy than Ruslan, because he's been into the sport much more time more years than Ratzali. And Ratzali likes to be in how do you say that, in the limelight.
Yeah.
While Dovizioso, I think it's the opposite. But I don't think that Dovizioso will be in the title fight because I mean, he says that he's still adapting to the new bike and he doesn't want to put himself into that position.
Yeah.
And yet, despite when he didn't accept the Ducati's offer, he said that he was always going to come back, being able to fight with the title. This is not, in my opinion, this is not going to happen next year, and he's back. Mm-hmm. But we all know how riders, speak sometimes.
Yeah.
I think that the project is what it is. It's been a last-minute project with a lot of question marks still because, I mean, don't forget that Yamaha has signed only 1 year with them because Yamaha wants to see how this project goes. I mean, 80% of the people will be completely new. Raslan has brought those 80% of the people from Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, because hopefully it's going to be the surprise of the season, but there are still some doubts going on.
Agreed, and it would be a shame if those doubts continued because a rider like Dovizioso deserves a good team, a good bike. We know how talented he is. He shouldn't be in a position where he shouldn't have been put in the position he was late last year when he signed the contract and there was no real information and guarantees about the team. You know, when he signed that deal, the deal with Yamaha and RNF hadn't been signed. That's not the kind of team situation that a rider like Dovizioso will enjoy for too much longer if it doesn't improve. On Dovizioso still, he spoke about his future a little bit and he said right now he doesn't want a contract for 2023. He wants to sort of evaluate his performance and see how things go, which is an interesting thing. I would expect that Yamaha would maybe want to keep him around on its books, whether that would be in a race role or in a test role going into 2023, but it's clear that Yamaha sees Dovizioso as an asset.
Well, yeah, probably, yeah, but maybe Yamaha sees Dovizioso as an asset considering given the circumstances. I mean, having this team without any rider, Dovizioso is a good one. So, especially if the other one is Darren Binder, because you have the experience, the most experienced one, and you have the less one, the young talent. It's the only way I see. I think Yamaha is a bit more happy or relaxed with Dobby than with Binder. And I think it's normal. And let's see how it goes. But at the same time, I don't know if Dobby will be comfortable in a test rider position because he's, in a way, he's been doing that. And I don't know. We all know Dobby. We know that the economic part was very important on his decision to not sign for Ducati again. And at the moment, despite the test rider is a really important role in most of the manufacturers, in all the manufacturers, the contract are not, I mean, the figures in the contract are not the best. So let's see.
Away from the two wheels, where we were off enjoying our winter break, there was quite a big announcement on Valentino Rossi that I just wanted to kind of get your opinion on, because he will do a full GT racing campaign in the World Challenge Europe for WRT, which is a proper factory team with Audi. It's a full campaign of sprint and endurance races. It's a very, very serious project, which we knew Rossi was going to race GTs, but I don't think anyone thought he would be taking it quite as seriously as he looks to be this year.
Well, I think that when Rossi does something, he does it properly. And that's the way to describe this project. And in the end, we've seen him the last couple of weeks training the same intensity that he would be training if he would be part of the championship next year. So I think that will keep his mentality there at 100%. Waking up every morning, trying to do its best, training and keeping his physical condition at its best. And that's the way Valentino Rossi does things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it suggests as well that he's doing a full endurance campaign with a team like WRT. Mm. It suggests to me, we've spoken about this in the Autosport office, that it looks like maybe in the next couple of years, Rossi will look to do Le Mans. WRT will be allowed to compete at Le Mans when the new GT3 rules come into effect to replace GTLM. So that's interesting.
Well, he always admitted that Le Mans will be one of his targets for the next coming year. So yeah, it would be amazing. It would be. I think the philosophy of Le Mans of the 24 hours really fits him in terms of the character, the legend. It has to be like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great thing for motorsport in general. A legend like Rossi doing a series like GT World Endurance or GP World Challenge, sorry, you know, bringing a new fan base to that, and in turn, MotoGP benefits from that. You know, it's going to be great to see Rossi race at places like Brands Hatch. You know, a place he would never have come before in his career, and now we'll get to see him there in a proper race setting. It's just a good story for motorsport, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, all the motorsport family will take profit of that, and we all, in a way, we all will follow championships that we are not used to follow just because of him, because it happened in the past with many different disciplines. It happened, I mean, more recently, for example, with Petrucci in the Dakar, or even a few years ago with Fernando Alonso joining Dakar, or these kind of things. So I think we will have another championship to keep an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think on that note, Yuri, we'll wrap it up there. We'll be back probably next week after the test to discuss what will be an exciting, hopefully interesting couple of days. But thank you very much for joining me. It was nice to have you again. Thank you to the listeners as well. If you liked what you heard, of course, all of our podcasts are on Autosport and Motorsport.com and all your various podcast platforms. We've been busy over the winter writing a lot of stuff. Yeah, Yuri mentioned Petrucci there. We did do an interview with Danilo, which has gone up on Autosport Plus and will be available on your other Motorsport.com edition soon. And of course, we'll be keeping you up to date with everything that's happening in MotoGP. But until the next time, thank you for joining us, and take care of yourselves.